You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Welcome to the Roto Experts. In the morning, it's hour number two on the Sunday. I guess it's technically not week one, but we're headed towards week one in a few days, Joe. People are still drafting. Scott's got two today. I've got one tomorrow. I got the number one overall pick. I think I'm going David Johnson as opposed to Le'Veon Bell, which hurts me as a Steelers fan because I'd love to root for Le'Veon, doubly root for Le'Veon, but I just think him holding out as long as he did worries me a little bit for a soft tissue injury or something like that, but it's close. If you wanted to twist my arm, I'll take Le'Veon. But I bring all this up to say that we're getting close. You're a Pats fan. You're excited for Thursday night. Do you have a specific tradition in watching the opening game on Thursday nights?
You know, it's funny. I don't have a specific tradition, but Sundays at my house, we do have tradition, which is big Sunday dinner and NFL. You know, Scott knows from the last year that before I even come on air, the meatballs are already in the sauce. The, everything's already rocking and rolling over here at the Pizza Pit House. So, you know, the sausage and peppers, we do a whole thing. And then it's basically eating in football and, you know, playing outside, hopefully, with the kiddies going out there and running around with the football. So Sunday tradition. Thursday nights are rough. Thursday nights, you're still running around. See, when you have little kids still, you're basically just a victim of their schedule during the week.
It's very Italian of you, Joe.
Very Italian. Mike, if there's one thing about me, it's very Italian.
Yeah, well, I can appreciate that. You stick to your guns. You stay in your lane. For me, I make sure I watch the game, Scott, but I don't know that I have any specific traditions. But I think a lot of people get together. I talked about it with George Kurtz yesterday. A lot of people get together, watch the game together, maybe even do their draft on that night. You know, as the game gets started, they're maybe finishing up the draft and get started that way. That's a fun way to kick it off.
Yeah, you know, it's I don't know if there's many Thursday night traditions necessarily. I think the first Sunday tends to be more festive.
Totally agree. Yeah. And where we are in live from Rock and Riley's Studio 34 in Midtown Manhattan, a lot of people come here. You're going to be coming here to watch the games. It's a big festive atmosphere, and we'll be here on the early side of it. But I think as we go through the next 17 or so Sundays, Joe, people are going to get their traditions together, whether it's yours or getting out to a sports bar or getting home to watch it with friends.
Oh, absolutely. And look, you know, that's the great thing about the NFL. It's the communal aspect of it. And that's why fantasy is so great, no matter what Martellus Bennett might try to tell you. Fantasy is great because it keeps us all together and it keeps people together. We're friends over years and years, and some leagues are gone for decades. You know, George Kersey told me he's got a league that's like 25 plus years old that he's in. That's astounding to me, and I think that's what makes this time of year so special. It's everybody getting back together on the same page, no matter where you live, no matter where you are. Everybody's tied back together because of the league, and I think that's a special thing.
Yeah, well, I look forward to it. I hope you all do as well. Pats Chiefs this Thursday night. We could talk a little bit about the Week 1 games, but I'm probably going to save that till next week. I want to talk a little bit about an NFFC draft that occurred over this weekend, as many of them did, next on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hey everybody, it's me, Joe Pizzapia, best-selling author of the Fantasy Black Book series, and right now, you can get the 2017 Fantasy Football Black Book on Amazon as we speak. What are you waiting for? You can get it for ebook, for your Kindle, or for paperback, and it's not just me this year. No, I brought in some friends. I got Jake Seeley, I got Sammy Reed, I got Gary Davenport. I got championships, and they're waiting for you. Find out why the Fantasy Black Book is number one best-selling in fantasy sports for the 10th straight time. You know why? Because once you go Black Book, you never go back.
Scott, I got to give credit to Chris Bavona. He's rocking it out this morning.
He is.
He's doing a nice job. Got a nice mixture of you know, some old school, a little Rage, some Billy Joel.
And of course, some Kiss.
This is a professional production. Not that my regular producer, Pete Considori, isn't incredibly professional, because he is, but I'm just saying, you know, it'd be nice if I figured
out. I
know,
it was a lot of Huey Lewis in the news last week.
There was
saying.
A lot. But you know what? I saw, as I mentioned last week, I saw Huey Lewis live, and he was impressive, so I can't criticize. It would also be nice if I could figure out how to use Twitter, because Joe and Scott, we're going to talk about a draft that occurred this past weekend. It was a big NFFC weekend here in New York. There were a lot of drafts going on in Vegas as well, and all over the country. The NFFC, obviously a lot of high-stakes, professional high-stakes players going into these leagues and competing very heavily. Our very own Matt Modica, who we've all done shows with over the past couple of years, was involved in one of these, and there was a draft here that he participated in. He's team five in this draft that we're taking a look at now, guys. And it started off pretty standard. It's a PPR league, but Matt did he took Odell Beckham there. I think it's a super flex or maybe a 2QB, but he went with Tom Brady, second round, comes back Terrell Pryor, then Stephon Diggs. So the player I wanted to talk, and he did get Carlos Hyde. I know he did this draft, I believe, with Andy Saxton. They're both big on yes. Carlos Hyde. So ultimately, Hyde is a guy we talked about earlier. We really like him even more now with that job being solidified. By the way, they paid the fullback like $25 million, Joe, Kyle Juszczyk. So it leads me to believe even more that as much as Kyle Shanahan can go up-tempo, they are going to dedicate a lot of time to Carlos Hyde, using the fullback and keeping Brian Hoyer in positive situations in third and short.
Well, yeah, they're going to want to do that. Look, Shanahan's a great offensive mind, and I think this is a good opportunity for him to, you know, kind of create something new for himself here. And I'll say this, I think Brian Hoyer is better than people give him credit. I said it when he was in Houston, and I said it last year, and he played well for the Bears. Tony Cincotta on this very program mocked me many a week, and many a week Brian Hoyer had some good returns. So I think that the idea is to try to control the ball a little bit more, try to keep this defense, you know, off the field as much as they can. You know, it's going to be tough, but I think a little bit more ball control on the offensive side, I think, can only help the defense. But, you know, looking at this roster right off the bat, you know, I would say, and I don't know if Scott agrees with this, but I don't know if there's a whole lot of floor and foundation. You know, for just a 12-team league, even if it's a super flex kind of scenario here, which I'm not sure if it is because I don't see the other quarterback taken there, I'm kind of shocked by taking Brady in the second round. Is that kind of shocking to you, pass on the other running back talent on the board, Scott?
Not when, you know Matt, you work with him every day. Corey calls him a quarterback snob. You know, he's one of those guys who, like Chris Vaccaro, another top NFFC player, you know, they'll go for the quarterback early, especially in a league where it features 6 points for a touchdown pass. He's very, very high. He's got his guys here. He's very high on Pryor and Diggs. And, you know, I like that as 1-2-3 punch. Beckham, Pryor, Diggs. He got his guy in high. He likes Ingram. I know he likes James White. Cooper Kupp is my guy, and you know I've been able to infect the rest of the staff on that.
I'm with you on Cooper Kupp. I'm buying that. I'm with you.
And he paired Mark Ingram with Alvin Kamara, so he's got a nice little combo there. It's nice to have a share of the Saints' running game, even though we can't tell you exactly how it's going to work out, exactly how many touches AP will get. We think there'll be enough touches there for Ingram and Kamara. You know what? If Ingram goes down as he normally does at some point during the season, you got Kamara there to spell you for a couple of weeks, right, Scott?
Well, I think that's why they have Peterson. Kamara maybe is a versatile running back of the future. If you look in our dynasty ranks in the exclusive edge of rotoexperts.com from Bobby McMahon in our dynasty coverage, he really likes Kamara as like the complete guy for the future.
Yeah. Joe, thoughts on Alvin Kamara?
Well, yeah, look, let's see how he develops over time. I know the talent's there, and obviously you didn't draft him if you didn't think he was going to be a guy that had a lot of opportunity in the future to make an impact. But this whole Saints running back situation, for me, I'm the biggest Mark Ingram guy around. Every year I own Mark Ingram all over the place. This year I have zero shares. This whole scenario to me, I just want to stay away from. I am going early and often in running back. I want the guys that are going to be the guy. I don't want to play around with this circus, this carousel of the guys who keep running around. Who's it this week? Who's it that week? I don't want to deal with that anymore. And I'm telling you right now, I think you're smart. If you go and solidify that, you get the Freemans, you get the Howards, you get the Gurleys, even those guys who are the man. And don't worry about these scenarios if you can avoid them. It's one thing is depth. It's another thing if you actually need them. And that's where I have a problem with this roster, because I feel like it's a little bit too much need at the running backs there. And we haven't seen Pryor really become a guy in this offense yet. I know last year is last year, but this is 2017 now. And I don't know. I think there's a lot of questions on this roster.
I think you can't overrate the preseason. I know he had two drops in the last preseason game. This is a guy that caught over 70 passes and 1,000 yards from seven different quarterbacks, including himself. He was throwing himself at one point. You know, and the word out of Cleveland when they lost him was the arrow's pointing up on this guy and they could regret losing. I think sometimes guys have quiet preseasons and they'll step forward during the regular season. I love Pryor as a number two.
And I think what you have to be mindful of with a team like this, so it's Odell Beckham, Tom Brady, Terrell Pryor, Stephon Diggs, Carlos Hyde, Mark Ingram, Corey Davis, James White, Cooper Kupp, Eric Ebron, Alvin Kamara, Kobe Fleener, Samaje Perine, Travis Benjamin, Wendell Smallwood, Tyler Boyd, Mike Williams, Charles Sims. So I think what's different about NFFC drafts in leagues like this that may be different from your home league or some other leagues that you compete in is that leagues like this require a lot of upside. So you see chances taken,
yes,
like that.
Absolutely.
You take a Tom Brady in the second round because you need that aggressive high quarterback total. You need to take a guy like Terrell Pryor that could explode onto the scene in Washington. Stephon Diggs, look, I know a lot of people are down on him. I'm in Modica's camp on Stephon Diggs. I think he's a more talented player than people realize. That offense was dysfunctional last year, mainly because the offensive line was broken, which, by the way, it is still not fixed. I've gave them credit for making a couple of acquisitions during this offseason. They cut Alex Boone. They still have issues on the offensive line. I just don't know. I'll still take a shot at Diggs because he's so talented.
The offensive line, though, they made some off-season acquisitions. It's going to be better. They'll get Dalvin Cook out in space.
Yeah. So go ahead, Joe.
And they need time. They need time to play together. No, I'm just saying, offensive lines, people want to just add, whenever you're adding new players to it, it takes a while. It's one of those things that they call it a unit for a reason. I think that it takes a little bit of time. And even if you've replaced the talent level, you have to get the group to play together. That's the most important thing on the line. It's not even so much the individual talent so much as how do they work together as a unit. You'll see that all the time in New England. They always have the best quote-unquote talent there, but they work together very well, and I think that's what really improves. And you're 100% right. In this format here, Matty Mo, our boy, is going for a lot of upside because that's what you need in this kind of format. But this is a very telling thing to folks who are out there, who are listening, who have drafts today and tomorrow, because if you take that quarterback early, outside of like that 10-team league kind of scenario, this is going to set you back in that running back world because it's going to cost you early draft capital, and when it does, you're going to miss out on a lot of the guys that are going to be RB1s that you feel very solid about, and the next thing you know, you're worrying about the Seattle situation, you're worrying about the New Orleans situation, all these situations you don't want to be playing in. And guess what? As you go later in the draft, the guys like Rivers, the guys like Cousins, all those quarterbacks are going to be there and still be very productive.
We talked about this guy earlier in the show, and I'm pretty sure his draft usually has a third-round reversal here, so I'm pretty sure that's what I'm looking at.
Yep.
But I'm going to rattle off all these names, and I'll leave you with the last one, and then you can comment. David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell. This is in order as to how they were drafted. David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, Melvin Gordon, Devonta Freeman, LeSean McCoy, Jay Ajayi, Dalvin Cook, DeMarco Murray, Kareem Hunt, Todd Gurley, and then Jordan Howard. So, Joe, a lot of names off the board before Jordan Howard goes. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I think I made that pretty clear how I felt about it earlier. I don't understand
12th.
Why he's...
goes 12th.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, great. If you're the 12th guy that gets him there, I mean, that's terrific. Or gal that gets him there, that's great. You know, I want to say you mentioned Freeman ahead of McCoy there, correct, if I heard you properly?
Yes, that is correct. He went one pick.
That's something that I've seen a lot, and that's something that I've been seeing a lot more in the last week or two with people in drafts and discussing it on social media and Twitter and stuff like that. And maybe it goes back to this point that we made in hour one of the program with Scott and I about this, you know, he's dropped him, you know, way even further than I have. But this notion that we all have to start being aware of where McCoy is at this point in time right now heading into the season, and that Freeman is in a safer, better situation, and back-to-back years basically the same season. I think we have to finally give credit where credit is due to Freeman.
Yeah, he makes the most of every touch. Yeah. I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
Yeah.
Maybe because he isn't a true NFL bell cow, people rank him lower. I would take Inzerly as number 9.
Talk a little bit more about him and Jordan Howard after the break on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot, because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
We're back on the Roto Experts in the Morning. It's a game day edition. No games today, technically, but we're headed towards Thursday night. Pats Chiefs. And I'm just looking at some matchups next week. We're going to be talking about all this stuff in depth next week.
Yeah.
We don't have to get into it now. But, you know, Saints-Vikings on Monday night, that's going to be a fun fantasy game, right? There's a lot of fantasy-relevant guys there, as there are in many of these games. But
I like some of the Vikings in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're going to be missing their starting left tackle against the best defensive line in the NFL. And on defense, you know, that team, you know, Bro is not going to be there. Lattimore's a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Vikings can roll up some points. I like Adam Thielen in the opener.
Yeah, and the game to follow it up is Chargers-Broncos. It's at Denver, so it's usually a tough spot for the Chargers. But
that could be a defensive battle.
Yeah.
The Chargers, you know, I know they lost one of their they lost Denzel Perryman, but I still like that defense a lot. You know, the corners are really good. That'll be very interesting to see those Denver wide receivers against Los Angeles's corners.
Is Perryman going to be like an IR designated for return kind of deal?
I think so.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on it, but I think so.
Yeah, so
I know he's not going to open the season with the team.
Yeah, and Joe, obviously Chiefs-Pats on Thursday night. The Chiefs have close to zero chance to win that game. I just never like somebody going into the into Gillette in that kind of spot.
Well, you know, you bring that up too, and it's fun because we were talking about, you know, the Survivor Pool Week 1 kind of places to go, and the Pats are kind of an easy one, and I say, you know, don't get cute. I think it's perfectly fine to use them, but I was curious what you guys thought, because I keep looking at Houston and saying the emotion of that game in Houston. I don't see any way that Jacksonville goes to play Houston and comes out of that building with a W, not with J.J. Watt and that
defense. I don't
think
they needed that.
That defensive line against that offensive line and that quarterback, that's just very,
I think
very
that's a lock.
Bad recipe. Leonard Fournette is going to probably get toppled by game script, and yeah, you know, even though they lost AJ Bowie, that secondary is still very good.
Yeah, what's the prognosis on Bowie?
What about him?
I'm saying, I thought you. Were
oh,
saying
they lost. They also had Jackson.
I'm saying, yeah,
you lost him in free agency. I thought you're just.
I'm saying the Houston secondary is still very good, but
I get it.
Look, Jacksonville's going to have a good secondary too with Ramsey and Bowie.
Yeah, I agree. Jacksonville.
And how many times are you going to be able to use Houston this year in a survivor pool? Just putting that out there. It's not going to be a whole lot because of quarterback play. I think this one is the lock where you can go in there. The emotions are running high. The building's going to be insane. It's going to be absolutely crazy there, I'm sure. And I just, how can you expect How do you expect Blake Bortles and company to go in and walk in and get a W there? I just think it's impossible. I really do. I'd be
Tom Savage is going to have a tough time, too, because they're going to be without Dwayne Brown.
Oh, yeah. You know, oh, look, the defense is going to win this game, Scott. They're going to score. I think the defense might have to score more points than either offense in order to win.
No Dwayne Brown, Tom Savage holds on to the football for a long time, and he's already been described as beat guys. They're worried about him being brittle, when taking a hit. If it's just for bad play or an injury, Deshaun Watson starts for this team sooner rather than later, and then things get more exciting on offense, I think.
Well, I would say two things. One, I actually don't think Houston needed any added emotion in order to win this game, but as Joe detailed, there's a lot going on in Houston. I would say that all of us, on behalf of the entire Roto Experts family, our thoughts and prayers go out to all the people of Houston that are struggling with the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. J.J. Watt, to his credit, I know some people get at times kind of put off by J.J. Watt being so active on social media, but I don't really care what he's done prior to this, because his efforts in order to help raise this money for the victims of Hurricane Harvey is stupendous. It's as good a thing as an athlete can do. I think it's at $17 million at current count, and when his goal was a third of that. So he's blowing away the goal. I hope all of you can continue to donate in one form or fashion, either to his fund or elsewhere. So
it was very interesting. They had a doubleheader yesterday, the Astros, because they wanted to get back to normalcy, like the mayor said, and they thrashed the Mets pitcher in the opener. It was Harvey.
Harvey.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yes.
Full circle on that. As Joe was talking about, from a survivor pool standpoint, Houston might be an option there. And to that end, Fantasy Factor is running another NFL Survivor contest. It's $1,000. Winner take all. So it's free to enter. Simply sign up at fantasyfactor.com and make your pick each week. Last man standing takes home $1,000. Someone is going to win $1,000. It might as well be you. Fantasy Factor is the only DFS site that is exclusively single entry contest. www.fantasyfactor.com. Please sign up now. And Joe, one thing I do like about that, when we're playing DFS, and I often tell people that are maybe dipping their toe in the water or have struggled with some other contests, single entry is a really good way to go, because it levels the playing field to some extent. You don't have to go up against people that have loaded in tons of lineups.
Absolutely. You want to try to avoid that. And I know if you listen to Tony Cincata on the DFS show, if you're going to listen to us on Sundays or all the shows here, we're going to cover season-long and DFS. But if you're just starting out with DFS, please go play the cash games. If you want to throw a little bit of your coin into some GPP play, that's fine. But you have to manage your bankroll. You have to understand it's 17 weeks. It's not 1 week. Don't go crazy. I'll tell you what, too. Sammy Reed in this year's Black Book wrote a fantastic chapter about daily fantasy. Whether you're an old school veteran player, there's a lot to learn there. I learned a lot there from Sammy in that chapter. Or if you're new to it, there's a lot there too. So I think Sammy Reed in that new Black Book really just laid it out there. What's your groundwork to be successful for an entire season, not just a couple weeks? How to really play it like it's a season, but basically it's a daily season.
And you have to be realistic about your return on it too, right? Because of the massive amount of commercials that we saw in the past, I think there's a level of expectation from beginner players that, hey, I threw $20 in here.
I'm going to win $1 billion.
I only got $17 back on that. It's like, well, yeah, you nearly doubled your money. So that's a good return.
Well, everybody's happy, right? If I told you, you put $100 into a league, a season long league, and you came out with 500 or something like that in December, you'd be like, oh, okay, that's awesome. I won the top prize or whatever. But, in daily, we don't look far enough ahead. And I think that's a great point you're making, Mike. And if you win X number of dollars every week, that's good. And the way to do that is to stay in the cash game lane if you can. If you want to throw a dollar in a tournament because you want to, watch it and see what's going on, you want to throw $10 in a tournament, 25, depending on your bankroll, that's what you have to understand. And I'll tell you, Brian Jester's new book is really good too. I had him on the Black Book show a couple weeks ago. If you're getting into DFS, he's got a guide on Amazon too that's terrific. And of course, the Roto Experts exclusive Edge package has got all kinds of information there as well on players. But
Football Black Book.
Yeah. The Black Book. But look, DFS, I love NFL DFS. It is my favorite pairing of sport and format because I'm not tied to players, and with so many injuries in the NFL, the fact that you get to start fresh every single week, I think, is just such a blessing. And to me, I think that's just the future of where we're going in the NFL in fantasy terms. And I'm excited for daily. I've actually sized back in a lot of my season longs to go forward with more DFS play because I just enjoy it more at this point in my fantasy career, as it were. I don't know if that's a thing, but there you go.
Yeah, so I've scaled back from a couple of years ago. I think I'll end up having, I think it's going to be 7 leagues this year. It might be 8, but that's about the sweet spot for me, so that I can focus on DFS.
25 to 18 to 12, and this year I think it's going to be 9.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
Wow.
It's manageable. Yeah. When you get to double digits is where things get rough.
Matt Modica has like 30 leagues. But, I think like more than
many
half
of those,
a yearly.
Though, but many of those, there's like no trades or
there's
no transactions.
Yeah, the best ball. Like half of best ball, but still, it's a lot. Like Matt seems to have a draft like every night.
Yes, he's done a ton of those. So, and for me, it's not necessarily that. Well, first of all, the drafts can take up a lot of time, right? I got a couple of little kids. It gets a little harder to manage schedules. So the drafts are time consuming. But it's not just that, Joe. When you're managing so many leagues, where it gets really difficult is, first of all, you got to put in a lot of waiver wire claims, and you can maybe even do that. But where you really lose out is that in some leagues where you could conceivably make a trade, it takes a lot of time to go through other people's rosters to evaluate what could be a legitimate offer to somebody. So you're looking through, I can't do that in 10 leagues. I just can't do it. I don't have time to look through and find out what trade might be best. Or I just don't do it, and you miss out on that opportunity to improve your team and improve somebody else's, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd rather have 5 or 6 quality teams than a dozen where I'm just kind of winging it and trying to, you know, not pay attention. It's hard because of the waiver wires and different leagues are set different days. You know, that's always one, too, the different rules in different leagues. That's where it gets a little wacky for me when you start hitting to the double digits in terms of teams that you're involved in. Because you're like, wait, when is that transaction end? Like, oh, wait, I can pick up a guy at this time or during that window. And, yeah, it's not just the trades that happen, too, but it's also eventually you have so many shares of different players that you end up rooting against yourself. So, you know, if you have the core group yet and you're playing in, you know, 5 leagues, man, I like that 5-6 range in terms of season long. If they're really serious, I'd rather play in 5 or 6 really serious leagues than play in 8 to 10 kind of whatever, you know, where everybody's just kind of casual, and then by October 31st, people aren't setting lineups. I don't care for that. I don't roll with that. And I also try to make sure I get different kinds of leagues. You know, we've got the 2 quarterback J&J league with John Lobb and myself, and we're doing this year. I'm in the super flex of the Jake Seeley leagues. I'm in a standard. I'm in a PPO. You know, I like to kind of throw that, to me, is the best way to do it, too, where you have a little share of each style of format in your fantasy season, because I think that's a fun challenge, and sometimes it helps you cross over because there's certain players that you might have your eye on in the waiver wire that might be good for one league, you know, and you go look in there available in the other, and sometimes that cross-pollination will help.
Yeah, well, as far as like having multiple leagues, just be about being organized. Like I have a list over my desk, you know, what days, what leagues, and then I just get into a rhythm. And as far as like having players on different teams and rooting against yourself, to me, rooting doesn't matter because just because you root for players doesn't mean they're going to do good. So if you know, look, we talk about diversification. I'm not somebody that looks to diversify, but it happens a lot naturally. You know, to me, one league has nothing to do with the other anyway.
Yeah, look, there's players that I really like that I'm not going to have on teams this year, right? Because of where I draft. I won't have Antonio Brown on any leagues just because I didn't have the 3rd pick anywhere.
Yeah. So look, and auction's the best of all, and that way you avoid all that kind of problem.
Yeah, we'll come back, talk a little bit more about that on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hey everybody, it's me, Joe Pizzapia, best-selling author of the Fantasy Black Book series, and right now you can get the 2017 Fantasy Football Black Book on Amazon as we speak. What are you waiting for? You can get it for ebook, your Kindle, or for paperback, and it's not just me this year. No, I brought in some friends. I got Jake Seeley, I got Sammy Reed, I got Gary Davenport. I got championships, and they're waiting for you. Find out why the Fantasy Black Book is number one best-selling in fantasy sports for the 10th straight time. You know why? Because once you go Black Book, you never go back.
Rocking out. rocking out on the Roto Experts
in
the morning.
A little Ted Nugent here. A stranglehold.
Is that what this is?
Yeah.
I'm really good. I'm really bad about identifying what songs they are. I just know that we're rocking out.
I've seen Ted Nugent live.
Yeah.
Shut up and play guitar, Ted. We don't want to hear all your opinions on everything else.
It's a whole different thing. He's entered into a new stratosphere with all of his political
really
events.
Really not new for him.
Here's what I'll say. We are headed towards the top of the hour. And coming up, it's going to be Dane Martinez, Corey Parson, Maria Marino, Bill Enright. That is the Fantasy Lineup Lock Show. Is that the four for the rest of the year? Or we got a little bit of a rotation?
Yeah, so we got a little bit of a rotation.
I know Dane's going to be here.
Dane's
I know
gonna
Corey's going to be here.
Maria's
going to be here.
Yeah.
But
Bill Enright.
And Bill Enright, yes, for this show. And is that it for the rest of the year?
That I'm not aware of.
Okay. So, whatever. Bill Enright's here today.
Look, today, it's all about today.
Yeah.
You can only control today. We can't worry about tomorrow.
Somebody could go down with a sprained ankle. They can't make it for the next week. Dane breaks a collarbone on the subway. He's out.
There's not an inside injury zap for fantasy hosts.
We'll see. I don't know. I don't know how tough Dane is. I don't know if he can come in when his collarbone's broken. I think he looks tough, but we'll see. In any event, they're coming up after this. They'll be on from 9 to 12.
So
And Joe and Scott and I will make our way out of here. So
Pisapia, he ain't so tough, you know.
Yeah, so Joe, are you going to do a dry run today of the meatball sauce situation? It is Sunday.
No, you know what? I'm not. And I'm going to tell you why. Because tomorrow got Labor Day. It's actually a day off, which I rarely have. This will be like the last day off for the next 5 months, as I'm sure most of us are in that
same
thing.
So
last day, I got a little barbecue tomorrow, a little pool day. Weather's supposed to be better, so we're gonna enjoy the Labor Day splendor out in the backyard and have a little barbecue, a little badminton, a little bocce, a little this, a little that. You know, lawn games are always popular at the Pisapia house.
Yeah. So, in any event, we turn back towards the news of the
day. Wait a minute here. You don't care about what I'm doing tomorrow?
I'll get there.
Oh, yeah, I care about what you're doing.
But let's do it.
Tomorrow's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, buddy.
Oh, look at this.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, I got to find a good steakhouse to go to tomorrow for birthday lunch.
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
You celebrate with a steak lunch?
Yeah, it's like last year we went to Longhorn Steakhouse, and it was really good. But like the last time we went back there, the service was so incredibly bad in the one in Queens.
Wait a minute. Dude, you're in Manhattan.
Wait a minute.
You can't
go
to Longhorn.
Yeah, wait. I'm thinking he's talking about last year we went to Peter Luger's or
really good at Longhorn.
I'm not suggesting,
it was.
But you're in Manhattan. There's like 50 steakhouses here that are way better than that.
I'm telling you, the steak at Longhorn, I've eaten at some of these. It was top notch.
You're not going to convince me on this one. I'm just telling you. I could walk in either any direction Manhattan and find a better one.
The only thing is they're not open until like 4 o'clock,
And if they become a sponsor at some point, I love Longhorn Steakhouse.
No. The service, the last time we went was absolutely abominable.
Okay.
Both the food, I'm not sorry, my wife's food and the service. My steak was awesome. You know, but there's no consistency there. The problem is with a lot of these steakhouses, they don't open up till 4 o'clock.
I know, but that's how they go. That's how they roll.
I'll give you a couple off air.
I'm not
going to
start promoting steakhouses on air. I'll give you a couple off air that you can go to.
They could be open in the afternoon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, as we transition out of steakhouses and into suspensions, football suspensions, that's what we need to talk about because we didn't get a chance to talk to. You didn't get a chance to mention on air, either of you, Willie Snead's 3-game suspension, which was mostly under the radar. Not as many people knew about it. It was reduced from 4 games to 3 games. So, Joe, I'll ask you first. There's been a lot of speculation about where those targets will go. I think people like Willie Snead, experts on a whole like Willie Snead. He's been very consistent through his first 2 years, roughly 70 catch seasons. You could expect maybe the same out of him, or did you expect more?
Well, for me, I expected about the same, maybe slightly more, you know, with Cooks out of the equation there. Because I think Snead is a good player. But if you learn anything about Drew Brees over the years, what we've learned is he's going to just find the open man, which is great for Drew Brees' numbers, but not always great for your consistency when you're looking head-to-head matchup kind of scenario. It's why Devery Henderson and Lance Moore and all the guys, well, you'd see them year after year added and dropped because they'd have a good week and people would put them on or put them in their lineup and then they would do nothing for 2 weeks and you'd drop them or put them on the bench and then they'd have a good game. Michael Thomas is the consistency guy. That's the guy that you know is going to be a lock. It's going to be, you know, he's the Marquise Colston, if you will, of the group. But obviously, I think a little bit more potentially talented down the road as he grows into his role. But I think the early guy who might benefit is possibly Fleener. And I am not the biggest Kobe Fleener fan, but I think if I had to say where targets are going to end up with, I think there and maybe a little bit more out of the backfield. I don't see them just generally all of a sudden going right to Ted Ginn all of a sudden. Like some people say, well, Ted Ginn, you could fly him up your draft board. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I don't know if Scott agrees or not.
Scott, thoughts? Early targets, who makes up for it? Joe thinks it could be Fleener. How do you expect to, where do you expect
the
those targets to go
Fleener
the first 3
is,
weeks?
And I always say this for people listening to me for years, like, opportunity does not always lead to production. Kobe Fleener last year was catching the ball in his face mask. I hope somebody taught him that that's not the way you catch a football. I just don't trust Fleener. We always heard the years with Andrew Luck. Well, they were roommates, so they're going to play in college, so they're going to play very well together. It never happened with Luck. It didn't happen with Breeze. I think Ted Ginn Jr.'s got to step forward. Corey was right yesterday saying a dollar make you holler on Brandon Coleman. I just don't trust Fleener. I think Ingram will catch more passes out of the backfield. Breeze is, he's exemplary of what a quality quarterback does in the NFL. Spread the football around effectively. And he's going to hit the open man. The problem is when you hit the open man with Fleener, you never know what you're going to get.
So Joe,
he's not in my top 12. My rankings are updated on rotoexperts.com, the exclusive edge package. But Fleener's not in my top 12. He's not a tight end one. He hasn't taken advantage. He's not quite Jared Cook, but he's careening in that direction.
It was very telling. I talked to a Colts beat reporter last summer, and we were talking about the prospects for their 2017 season. She was shockingly negative about it, but also she was almost giddy about the fact that Fleener was gone, Joe, because he drops the ball so much, and when he did catch it, he would fumble. So I think the Colts were in some ways happy to not have the headache of Fleener on the roster.
Here's
what I'll say. Neither of you like him. I'm taking some shots with Fleener this year only for this reason. I think many times fans and experts alike overrate the tight end position somewhat. From a week-to-week standpoint, it is very touchdown-dependent. I'm willing to take a shot on Fleener because that offense obviously scores a lot of points. I know all of the warts that you're talking about with Fleener are true, but there's not a ton of guys that I can trust anyway. So I'm waiting later in drafts, and I'm getting guys like Fleener. I'd rather have somebody like Zach Ertz take him a little bit earlier, but I've taken a shot with Fleener in a couple of leagues.
I can understand that, especially in the standard. I think that's absolutely a perfectly fine way to go, and it's a great point. You get that touchdown, you're a tight end one that week, pretty much. I mean, that's how it goes. So there's nothing wrong with that in the standard. The PPR, I think you have to make some adjustments, depending on how many flex spots too are going on. But everything you said about Fleener is right. Everything we've said about Fleener is right too. It's not a great guy in terms of ownership that you love, that you want to have, but I think in the early going, if you ask me who benefits from the injury or for the suspension of Snead, then I think it's Fleener, but it's going to be fleeting, that's for sure.
Scott, thoughts about Jimmy Graham? Because I looking back at the NFFC draft at Matt Modica. You can follow him on Twitter at CTM Baseball. It's a great Twitter follow. He's very active with information. Jimmy Graham went the third tight end overall behind Gronk, behind Kelsey. Your thoughts there on Jimmy Graham, the resident Seahawks fan.
In a standard league, I'm actually ranking him above Kelsey because Kelsey doesn't get in the end zone enough for me. Graham, I think, can really have his best year as a Seahawk. It might not be comparable to what you saw in New Orleans necessarily, but he's now 2 years removed from that major injury. Him and Russell Wilson are best friends off the field, and that'll translate on the field. Seattle wants him to get the ball more in the red zone this year. When they have Lacy near the goal line, if Lacy's going to do anything, he'll give them some more balance near the goal line, and then they can hit Graham. And Graham makes some spectacular catches. And this season, he looked to be in top form. His first year with the Seahawks, it took some time to adjust to going from Drew Brees to Russell Wilson because they're different styles of quarterback. Now I think he's in rhythm. And it would not shock me if he's the best tight end in fantasy football this season.
Joe, people get frustrated with the Seahawks wide receiver targets outside of Doug Baldwin at times, but they don't necessarily need it when they have a pass catcher like C.J. Procise in the backfield. Jimmy Graham potentially coming back to a little bit more vintage Graham than in the past. What do you think about that?
Well, as long as Procise can stay on the field, yes, I agree with that in theory. And I own some Procise shares because he was the cheapest of that running back core, and in PPR, I'm perfectly fine owning C.J. Procise. I don't think that what Scott's saying is insane, which is an odd thing for me to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think that Jimmy Graham last year, when you found out that they were managing him through the injuries, that this year really, you know, I'm sure Scott will attest to this. Last year there were times where you're watching the games going, wow, he's in a real groove. Why isn't he on the field right now? Or why aren't they targeting? Like, it was just a weird thing where he would be doing well sometimes. You'd say, what's going on? Why isn't there more Jimmy Graham? And now on the back end in 2017, you realize, okay, they were managing him in terms of his physical abilities last year because of some of the injuries he had. So this year, if the gloves are truly off, I would expect him to have a better season. Now, if he ends up at number one overall, it wouldn't shock me because he's had that kind of talent in the past with Drew Brees. So I'm very high on Jimmy Graham this year, and that's a quarterback that you love way more than having to pay up for a Travis Kelce or a Gronk. I feel much better about waiting on Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not likely to have Gronk or Kelce or even Graham if he's going that high in future drafts. I just tend to punt the position for later. If I can get Walker or Ertz, that's my sweet spot. Hunter Henry, those are the guys I like. So we'll come back to close out the show before Fantasy Lineup Lock on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike, Scott, and Joe.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA Inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA Award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Final segment on today's show. As we head towards week one, a lot of you out there drafting. We had a wide range of topics today. We talked suspensions previously with Snead. I think I'm done talking about Zeke Elliott. I just am done.
Look, just if you want more on Zeke Elliott, you go to the Roto Expert Exclusive Edge Package. You enter the king at checkout for a special discount. You look at my first round guide. I tell you what to do with every pick. Right now, I have Zeke at 8 overall.
Okay. So you can roll the dice a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to see him go as early as number 3, number 4 overall in some drafts. We still don't know what's going to happen, you know, and it's aggressive sort of risk. You know, it's funny because I was at Big League Impact for charity, fantasy football for charity at Yankee Stadium earlier this week, and you can watch the video on the FNTSY network YouTube channel. I was helping Aaron Judge draft because he hadn't played fantasy in a long time, and he was on the number 12 turn, and I told him take Zeke right there with Michael Thomas, and it doesn't look like Zeke's going to miss 6 games, although anything could happen. But I think you got to take the shot. Like Matt Modico always says, look what Le'Veon Bell did in 12 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
He would have outplayed David Johnson if he wasn't suspended. He had almost as many receptions as David Johnson did. Ezekiel Elliott would be the easy number 3 PPR running back if he wasn't suspended, and the number 1 standard running back, in my opinion, if he wasn't suspended.
Joe, I have Zeke Elliott in the league that you and I are in, the J&J 2QB Invitational. I took him 6th overall. He got suspended 2 days later. So I'm not going to really have any more shares from him just because I already have one.
Yeah, I actually got my first share of him this Friday, and it's a completely different format. It's the Roto Football League that Seth Klein runs, with a couple other guys, which is fantastic. I mean, that it's funny. I'm not a biggest Roto baseball guy, but Roto football is extraordinary because there's so many different ways you can win. You can afford to lose a first round pick. And I actually, I Le'Veon Bell was my first pick. I had the third overall pick. It's multiple quarterbacks, all that stuff, and it's receiving yards, all these things. And basically, it made it back to me in the second.
Joe, explain what that means for those fans who are mostly playing
Roto football is, in other words, you've got categories: receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns. You've got IDP in it, so there's sacks, there's tackles, there's all these things. So it is an insanely deep, amazingly fun league. And of course, you got the quarterbacks in there, so you can only play two quarterbacks a week, but you have to manage all these bye weeks. So what happened to me, Gurley made it back to me in the second. I took Gurley, and then in the third round, Zeke was still there, and I said to myself, look, this is nuts. I'm taking Elliott because even in this 16 weeks, even the worst-case scenario, let's say I only have him for 9, if you consider the bye in there too, he's still going to have almost 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. And in Roto football, that is a fantastic value at 3. And who knows what the upside is for more if he gets the injunction and ends up playing the whole year. Who knows? Basically, I think I win the league if he plays.
This is true. So, look, the Zeke thing is still being adjudicated by the NFL. We'll see what happens. Could be 6. Could be 4. Could be 3.
I mean, tremendous values. I got a lot of shares of Zeke. Because like I was just like in a mainstream draft Friday night. Like I got Zeke at number 10 and Gordon on the turn. I got some of these people, like Tony Sincotta was talking about this yesterday on an NFL 15 broadcast. It's like some of these high stakes guys would be very aggressive, could end up with David Johnson and Ezekiel Elliott, you know?
Mm-hmm. So right.
Yeah, and why not? It all depends on where you are in the draft and also what kind of league you're in. If you're in a league where you know that you have better depth of knowledge of the pool at running back or other places than some other people in your league, you can make Ezekiel Elliott an early pick work for you because you know where to go to back yourself up.
Okay, we got 30 seconds to go. I got the number one pick tomorrow night. Half point PPR, you get 3-point bonuses at 100 yards total. Joe, you're taking David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell?
I'll still take DJ.
DJ or Le'Veon Bell?
DJ. Be a homer.
Done deal. Fantasy football lineup lock is next. Mike, Joe, and Scott are out. Talk to you next week.
God gave Dane Martinez to you.